Hello and welcome. Welcome once again to the Start, Scale, and Succeed podcast. It's the only podcast that grows with you through all seven stages of your journey as a founder. I'm your host, Scott Ritzheimer, and today I want to talk to those founders out there who've built a company, not just started a business. You've probably made it to stage four. We've talked about that before and hit a wall, but a big part of that wall we haven't talked much about is the very real world of sales. You see, at this stage, so many founders' sales function still feels like it's held together with duct tape and hope, especially those who are particularly good at sales themselves and have struggled to find a way to reproduce that in others. So if you're in that stage where you've stepped back from just about everything else, but you can't figure out how to get out of the way of sales, you are in the right place. Because joining me today is the one and only Nicholas Luisi, who's a seasoned sales leader, entrepreneur, and marketing executive with a proven track record of helping small to mid-sized businesses improve their sales and marketing systems. Having served as VP of Sales, President, and Chief Revenue Officer, Nick specializes in building integrated processes and playbooks that drive growth, profitability, and long-term customer value. His experience spans from startups to Fortune 100 companies, where he's revamped sales structures, developed business development strategies, and enhanced customer retention. He's here with us today. Nicholas, welcome to the show. So glad to have you here. I want to jump in because you talk about something that a lot of people don't talk about. In fact, a lot of people talk about the opposite, which is what you call the diseconomy of sales scale. What in the world does that mean? Why is it relevant to our conversation here today?
Well, first off, thanks a million for having me on. And thank you for all the work that you're doing. We are in the founder space all the time. We're in the small to mid-sized business space. You guys do a phenomenal job at Scale Architects. And really, my hat goes off to you. The driver of any economy, no matter what Wall Street says or what the Wall Street Journal or Bloomberg says, really is small to mid-sized businesses. Yeah. And you really focus on helping them. So thank you for that. Two is, I think the most important thing is, a lot of times founders, because as you said in the beginning of who you guys talked to, they were good at building their business, right? They just intuitively know how to sell. I could wake them up at 3 o'clock in the morning. They could close me, right? They know intuitively if a customer says something or a prospect says something 5 minutes in, they have to answer that with a story about 18 minutes in, or else they're going to get an objection at 24. They just know the process. But the problem is that they have a difficult time articulating that to new salespeople. They have a tough time creating that architecture, if you will, because it's innate to them. They just intuitively know what to do, when to do, and why to do it. And so we kind of come in and focus on helping them build that platform, that sales architecture, if you will, so that they have a machine that they could kind of plug and play the players in and get the results that they want. Not as well as a founder, right? No salesperson in the world is going to close as well as a founder will, but we want to put them into that. We'd like to say, we are like the New England Patriots, right? Bill Belichick, who, as we're listening to this, didn't get in the first ballot, but we'll get them eventually. They just had a program and they could plug and play players in based on the talent, based on their skill, but they had a very meticulous playbook. And that's the same thing that we help founders create.
Yeah. I love that. And the playbook is, I think it's gaining some traction. I think more and more people are thinking in these terms, but that's often not the option most people take right out of the gate. What are some of the ways that folks try to solve this problem that ultimately doesn't work?
First off is they hire somebody from a big business and bring them into a small business, and maybe they call in the same type of clients, right? Or maybe they're in the same space, but they came from a big logo, a big business, and now they're in a small business. And then the founder's wondering why they can't sell. That's the first mistake that everybody makes. We try to unwind that or stop that before that happens. Two is they hire a bunch of salespeople, hire a headcount, right? Give them a little bit of training and say, go get them, charge the mountain guys. Well, that doesn't work. So that's the second mistake that they do. The third mistake that they do is that sometimes they get enamored by salespeople and that person will never sell, right? It's just not in their DNA to be a salesperson, but they either fell in love with the person, they played golf with their father, they played golf with their spouse, something of that nature, and they've got the wrong people on the wrong seats of the bus. So those are three of the high level things that we see, Scott.
Yeah. Yeah. You mentioned earlier what I think is really at the core of this problem, and these are three ways that they're trying to solve this same problem. That is that they can't find a way to get something that's in them out of them. And what I think is so challenging about this, because, you know, folks listening will be like, that's not a new problem. You know, we talk about delegating all the time and this and that. And that's not really what we're talking about here. We're talking about this deeply innate skill that most founders weren't actually born with, but were born predisposed to develop, right? And so they come up with a way of doing all of this intuitively. They didn't go to sales training, most of them, right? They didn't have someone give them a process for how to sell. And so they've had success in handing other things off, but for some reason, this sales thing seems to stick with them longer than the rest. Why do you think that is?
Control. One is control, right? You don't want to give up the revenue driver. You like to eat. You like to feed your employees. Your employees like to eat. Your children want shoes, right? So you want to control the revenue side. Two is they've talked about what we talked about, where they've had their heart broken or they've hired people. That person has, he or she hasn't sold. So then the owner has to jump in. The founder has to jump back in and get the revenue to where it goes. They don't want to do it, but they realize that they kind of have to hold on to it. And to kind of retell what you just said, because you said it so articulately. I always use the story of Jack Nicklaus, the best golfer. Well, one of the best golfers. Now Scottie Scheffler and Tiger are taking over for that. But somebody ran up to him and said, how do you hit a one iron? He says, well, you take the one iron, you swing and you hit the ball, right? So he couldn't articulate how to do it. He just intuitively knew how to do it. And that's a lot of times what founders have. They just, one is they want to eat. Two is they had to grow the business. Three is they probably started on a folding table or an extra bedroom, and they had to get the business going, and they picked up the phone and they sent emails and they did LinkedIn and they worked a Rolodex and they got deal flow going. And then they learned a process and a system, and they just need to, we come in to help them replicate that process and system.
Yeah. Hi there, this is Scott. Thank you so much for listening. We're going to get back to the show in just a few seconds, but first, I wanted to let you know about my brand new Founders Evolution Quiz. If you're a founder, business owner, or CEO who feels overworked by the business you lead and underwhelmed by the results you're getting, you're doing it wrong. Succeeding as a founder all comes down to doing the right one or two things for right now. So take the quiz today at founderquiz.com. Again, that's founderquiz.com. And in just 10 questions, you can figure out what stage you're in so you can focus on what's going to work and say goodbye to everything else. Now, back to the show. Nicklaus, one of the big sticking points is that for a founder who sells to some extent, more emotionally than logically, that sale is free. You know, there's no sales commissions, you know, you're paying it to yourself. And so one of the things that I've found is a real challenge is how do you structure compensation? And what role do you see as compensation playing in this struggle to get a team up and running?
Well, first off, that's a great line. I'm going to use it. I'll give you attribution to it, but that's a great line that they think all the sales that they create are free. So, I mean, a sales compensation plan is created to drive the behaviors as well as the outcomes that you want, right? It's simple. So that's what we have to do. For some long-term sales, maybe there's a production portion of the sales compensation plan. A lot of times it's a percentage of revenue. We like a percentage of profit, or we like a percentage of cash coming in. But really, it's set up to drive the behavior and to drive the outcomes that you want. So you have to reverse engineer.
Yeah. And what do you find? They just decided to blow leaves right outside my window. So I hope you can't hear that, but you probably can.
I mean, I think they find out when all the podcasts are happening and they have master list, and every, you know, that they say in the morning, okay, I have to get over by Nick's house because he's doing a podcast and I'm going to do the lawn. So
I actually had a problem
going here
with
in
it.
Chicago. So you'll hear a snowplow go by on my end. So don't worry about it.
I had a problem with it where they were always doing it right after I was done. And so I put a red light outside to show when we were recording to make sure they got it right. So sorry for everyone listening. We try not to do this. But no, I don't know what I was going to ask, but I am going to ask this. You mentioned this earlier, and I think it's another one of those things that gets in the way and another sticking point, and that is they can't sell as much as me. Yeah. And I think that shows up, Nicholas, a couple of ways, and I'd love for you to speak to it to us. There's one of like, hey, I'm just not going to get somebody else because they can't sell as much as me. But I think there's also this need that goes on even after you have a team to like jump in and save the day, where it's like the big sale or we're a little down in a month. And what's the cost of that, especially over the long run?
So the cost is huge. So the first point, the cost is going to cost you points on your exit. Okay. So if they can't sell as much as me, so therefore I don't want to build a sales team, a sales process and all that, no one is going to buy your business, or they're going to buy it for a lot less than you think it's worth, because they like, I got to buy myself a job, or I got to find a salesperson and train that salesperson up. I'm going to take a hit on revenue. So you're doing really long-term detrimental value to your net worth and to your exit. And for many of the people that we work with, and I'm sure with you also, Scott, their business is their number one asset, right? It's going to fund their retirement. It's going to fund the kids' college funds. It's going to let them pay back to what they want to do or start a foundation. So we want them to maximize as much as they possibly can. And the best way to do that is have a really tight sales process and have a number of salespeople, not just one really great salespeople, but a number of salespeople that drive the revenue. Now you've got a machine and people will buy that, or private equity will look hard at that. So that's the first reason why. The second reason why is something not only founders, we see with founders, but we also see when everybody does the kiss of death, they take the best salesperson and they promote him to sales leader. And so his intuitive instinct is to drive deals, right? So he doesn't coach up the team. He doesn't move the team. He runs in and jumps in when a deal is stalled or over the edge. And we see that a lot with founders too, is the deal is stalled and they want revenue, right? Because that's what they're driven. And we all are always fearful of the shoe's going to drop on the other foot. So I'm not judging them. I'm just saying is that that will do detrimental value and it will start to demoralize your team. So you have to stay away from doing that. Sales leaders have to stay away from doing that. And you never don't hire salespeople.
Yeah. Yeah. You mentioned sales leadership and maybe even in your bio, sales management. What's the difference between sales management and sales leadership? And what does a founder at this stage need most?
So it depends on where they're at from a revenue perspective. If they are in the, let's say, under $5 million stage, they probably need salespeople, blocking and tackling, moving deals forward, picking up the phone and prospecting, doing discovery, doing, you know, objection handling and all that, right? So that's what they need. Probably at that 3 to 5 million range, they could think about a fractional sales manager or leader. That person is what we'll say the zookeeper. And I mean that with love and admiration. I'm a salesperson myself, so I got four fingers going back at me. But they're managing the inmates, if you will, right? So they're managing the team. They're managing deal flow. They're doing a lot of mentoring. They're listening to calls. They're walking them off the edge. As you and I are speaking, I got a team that we're managing and their salesperson's texting me because they think the other person's stealing leads, right? So dealing with all of those things that a sales leader shouldn't be dealing with and a founder should never be dealing with. Now you're going to get to 5 to 7 million, maybe 10 million. Okay. You still probably maybe move that sales manager to full time. Then now you're going to get ready for a leader. A sales leader really is focused on big deals, right? And how do I move revenue, maybe at a zero, or maybe at two zeros, right? What's our distribution channel? Do I bring in partners? You know, so they're looking at all the different channels, if you will, and they think about the world strategically. Salespeople are doing the work. They're the worker bees, the ants, if you will. The sales leader is kind of directing them. Sales manager is kind of directing them, making sure that the raw material is there and they're trained up. And the sales leader is saying, here's the mountain we're going to go, and it's going to get us this. And they're really kind of building out the high-level plans, 30,000 foot, 10,000 foot boots on the ground type thing.
Yeah. Nicholas, I could ask you about 5,000 more questions on this. I just love your approach and the clarity that you're able to bring to it. But there is one question that I want to make sure we have time for. And it's a question I ask all my guests, and it is this. What would you say is the biggest secret that you wish wasn't a secret at all? What's that one thing you wish everybody watching or listening today knew?
So it's a great question. So I think the one is sales is both a science and an art, right? You got to get the science part right. The art is dealing with people, dealing with prospects, dealing with that. But you got to get the science part right. Got to get the foundational formula correct. And then we can do the art form. But focus on the science of sales, the blocking and tackling of sales, the execution of it. And then you get into the nuance of the people skills.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah. I love ordering those. Nicholas, there's certainly folks listening to this and they're right there. The duct tape and hope thing isn't working for them anymore. And they really want to find a way of building a scalable, effective, sustainable sales team. Where can they find more out about the work that you do and connect with you?
That's very kind. So they could go to our website, salesperformanceteam.com. We got a bunch of freebies on there. We give back, right? So there's a lot of information. There's a lot of stuff. And they just, if they go to salespack.salesperformanceteam.com and let us know that they're a person of the show, we'll send them our books. We'll send them all of our stuff. We give back, right? We're a content producer, folks. That's the easiest way. They go to LinkedIn, hit me up on LinkedIn. That's fine too. That's probably the most active media that I'm on, maybe a little bit of Facebook. And they can send me an email at nick@salesperformanceteam.com. And the last thing I'm going to lead them with is the second thing I wish everybody knew that wasn't a secret is one is the most dangerous number in sales and in business. And it's one salesperson is dangerous because if he leaves, now you're back to selling. It's one provider. It's one source of income. It is one media, whatever that is. So focus on more than one, especially on the sales side, have as many as possible.
Yeah. I couldn't agree more. There's probably like five more episodes just in that last statement. But Nicholas, thank you. Thank you so much for being on the show. Really was a privilege and honor having you here with us today. I appreciate it. And for those of you watching and listening, you know your time and attention mean the world to us. I hope you got as much out of this episode as I know I did. And I cannot wait to see you next time. Take care. Scott Ritzheimer here. Thank you so much for listening to the Start, Scale, and Succeed podcast. I hope this episode gave you exactly what you need for your stage right now. If you want to discover what stage you're in, take our 10-question Founders Evolution quiz for free at founderskiz.com. That's founderskiz.com. It'll pinpoint exactly where you are and give you tailored tips to move forward and reach that next level in your journey as a founder. If you got something out of today's episode, would you do us a favor and share it on social media? Just grab a quick screenshot on your phone, text it to a friend, or post it on your favorite platform. Tag us and use #StartScaleSucceed. I'd love to see your posts. You can also head over to scalearchitects.com/podcast to check out more episodes tagged by your stage so you can focus on what matters most right now. Don't forget, subscribe, rate, review. It helps us to reach more founders like you, and it means a ton to me and my team. So let's keep starting, scaling, and succeeding together. I'll see you in the next episode.